Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Let's turn to these very famous last three verses. Verses 28, 29 and 30. Jesus speaking, and he's saying, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I used to be particularly upset by those who would say that Christianity is nothing but a crutch for the weak people. It's only when people are in trouble or need support, these people say, that's when they turn to religion. When they've got a problem, when they need help, they go to Christianity for this crutch. They say that Christianity's for losers. It's for losers. In fact, that's the title of my sermon. The Gospel's for losers. That's what the people say. The strong, the healthy, the wealthy, those who have their life together, they don't need religion. They cope fine without religion. The Gospel is only for losers. That used to upset me very much. However, I've turned to the Scriptures, looked up the Scriptures, and I find that they are right. The Gospel is for losers. Of course, we're all losers. But we don't all realize we're losers. Our text, "Come to me, I'll give you rest. My yoke's easy, my burden is light," was addressed to those who were struggling, those who were laboring, those who were burdened, those who were heavy laden, those who were struggling. It was said particularly to them. It was addressed to them, wasn't it? Indeed, the Gospel is for the weak, for the struggling. The reason why the strong, the mighty, the wealthy and the healthy are very often not interested in the Gospel is because in their present circumstances, they're able to cope with everything. With their health and their wealth and their strength and their ability and their gifts and their control of things, they've no need for a crutch. Everything's fine. Whereas those who are weak and struggling, they know full well that everything's not fine, and because they're regularly confronted with whatever struggle they have. And there is no doubt but our present circumstances often dictate as to whether we're winners or losers, whether we're strong or whether we're weak. The problem is that the strong and the healthy people forget. They do forget that things can and will change. What do I mean? I mean that they do forget that one day they will face a situation that requires more, very much more than what they have, if all they have is material and earthly. What day is that? That's the day that they will meet with their Maker when they die. We will all die. We will all likely struggle for breath, talking physically. And we will all ultimately need a crutch to survive. And we won't make it because we are destined to die. But it's what happens after death, after that, that we need a crutch. What is after death? The Scriptures tell us it's appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. And it is to this judgment of God's that many of the strong and the healthy and the wealthy and those who have it all together are unprepared, and they will struggle after death. the judgment. We'll need a crutch. Because who can stand before God? In checking through the scriptures, it's a lot of references to who can stand before God. No one. You need a crutch. Who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God, said the Israelites, when they saw God's judgment upon them. Who can stand? We will need a crutch. But of course, after death, it's too late. We'll already have made our final choice of a crutch. There are three crutches which are on offer to us. But by the time of God's judgment, after death, it's too late. We'll have made our choice. So I want to look at this passage which reminds us of Christ's mission to the world. His mission to the world is to offer us a crutch. And it's for losers. And for winners, too, if they realize they're losers. That they can't stand before God on their own. We cannot stand before God on our own. Now, the three crutches on offer to us now are one choice. We can go throughout life's journey on our own. On our own. We can struggle on doing our own thing, working things out for ourselves, ignoring and neglecting all advice and all warnings. We don't need to ask anyone anything. Just do what we think is right, what we think is best, what we think is true. We can carry on our own. Do it our own way. Our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own views, our own philosophy. Whatever we think is right. That's a real choice that people have. Going it alone. In fact, I think it's probably the most popular choice. People go it alone. What they think is right and best. It's a choice that Eve and Adam made. They had the voice of God. The advice of God. They had the suggestions of the devil. And they decided, thank you very much. We'll make up our own mind. We're going to have a look at this tree. We're going to have a look at this. Is it true that it's going to harm us, kill us? We'll make our own choice. Despising what's on offer. So one choice that we have is just to carry on our own. Second choice on offer. Second crutch that's offered. It's a crust of humanism, either from an individual or from a group. The humanistic perspective of life. Help from another person or for another group of people. In the normal course of life, we've got our parents. We're born into a family when our parents tell us everything. Tell us everything. We're utterly dependent, in a real sense, on our parents. That's the way God arranged life. We're brought up in a certain community, a home. And our parents really influence us. They tell us everything from the beginning, their way, their understanding of things. They give us advice. Everyone has parents. Sadly, of course, very sadly, some parents don't help us because they're in a mess themselves. And that is increasingly becoming a common thing. Children have to be taken away from their parents because their parents are not capable, able, fit to look after, to advise, to care, to keep children even alive. They may be drug addicts, they may be alcoholics, they may be selfish, uncaring, they may be living it up. Maybe even your own parents are dead. And so the source that God initially planned to help us and to be a blessing to us may not be there for some folk. They've had to be shipped out somewhere else. And that's very, very sad. But it's a reality for some. Have not been brought up to be told the truth. To be told what's good and to be told what's evil. Now, of course, there are plenty offers of human help from all around. Relatives and friends who can pick up the tab and come and help and give advice and guide us. That's a great help. That's a blessing. You can have the social services. You can have government-sponsored agencies. You can have the wealth of human learning to turn to look for advice and to guide us on the way ahead. We can learn from their secular, materialistic philosophies. There's actually no end from whom we may derive help and benefit. What sources we can appeal to and ask for help to get through life and to help us to cope and to enjoy things. There's actually no end. Our libraries and our bookshops are full of sources and the internet of help to enable us to get through life. Many human devices. And you may indeed find great help from these sources. From all of them, we can get great help. Praise God. We need to thank God for the many agencies out there that can help people who are in need, who need a crutch, who have been bereft of everything from even from birth. I know many people who've had great help and would never be alive if it wasn't for these agencies and these individuals who have come to the rescue. I also know of others, of course, who've been led astray by them and put too much confidence in them and who have been deceived by them. A great deal of harm can be done because, after all, when we don't know what life holds out for each one of us, do we? No one knows everything about life. No one knows everything except God. No one knows the future, what lies ahead. So there are disadvantages turning to human institutions, human individuals. There's a disadvantage being finite, being a creature. But there it is. That's what we are. Let's not kid ourselves. We know it all. We've got the answers. We're dependent people. And so there's a crutch of just, I know best, go it alone. There's a crutch of appealing to human institutions or individuals who are clever and wise, who've been allowed and have built up a lot of knowledge and help on the way. And then there's a third crutch. It's the crutch that Jesus offers us. Take my yoke. Learn from me. You'll find rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is saying, take my help. I can really help you. You may not think I can, but I can. You may have heard of all kinds of things about my yoke. People are opposed to it. People don't believe it. But I'm telling you, I got a yoke for you. So let's look. Christ's yoke. What is a yoke? A yoke is something for sharing a load, for helping us with our burden. It's a device for assisting and helping a bearer with a burden to lighten and spread the weight. Now, some yokes, chaff on our skin and make things actually worse. Not Christ's yoke, but yokes do. Yokes can. In the farming industry, it used to be a yoke for oxen, for pulling, and so on. The yokes could, if not done properly, would chaff. Some agencies designed to help us can make things worse too. Christ's yoke is designed, of course, specifically for sinful human beings. It's designed for sinners. Now, the word easy here in Greek means well-fitting. My yoke's well-fitting. It fits each person who takes it. It's designed for them specifically. In Palestine, all the yokes were made of wood in the time of Christ. The oxen would be brought to the carpenter's shop to be fitted and measured for their particular yoke. They'll be fitted and measured just as we today would go for a suit and get it measured and fitted for us. And after some time, the ox would come back and the yoke would be put on him and try to see was there any chaffing, any uncomfortable bits so he could carry out his work. To have the yoke tried on and adjusted, and the carpenter would have to ensure that there would be no chaffing. Everything would have to fit perfectly. Yokes were in actual fact tailor-made for each individual ox or animal. Now, as we know, Jesus was a carpenter. He's a carpenter. And there's a legend that Christ's father in his father's shop, that his father was the best yoke maker in all of Galilee. From all around they would come and buy their yokes from Christ's father's shop, because he was known as to be the best yoke maker. And the legend says that above his father's shop there was a sign. And we don't know if this is true, but it's a legend that's carried on. It may well be true. And it said, "My yokes fit well. My yokes fit well." And Jesus knew then, when he was talking about yokes, he knew all about it when he made this invitation. He knew he was offering help of the best possible kind. He was speaking to those who labored and who were heavy laden and looking for a yoke to help and spread the load. And there was plenty of those kind of people in Jesus' day needing a crutch, needing a help, needing a yoke. Some to carry the burden, some to help them. Jesus invited people to come to me, and yet he himself had nothing of this world's goods. He didn't have a bed, he didn't have a pillow. But he had salvation to give us as a gift. And in offering us his yoke, he's offering us salvation. You see, it's not advice that Jesus has come to give us. It's not advice. It's salvation itself. He's come to save us. He's come to give us eternal life. Not advice. There is advice, yeah. He's plenty of advice. But he's come to save us. That's what he's offering. That's the crutch he's saying. I can save you from all ultimate conditions and situations you will be in. He offers himself. He offers his salvation. Many, many people all over the world, friends, in all ages, have received everlasting life from Jesus. Many, many people have benefited from taking his yoke and from following him. All kinds of people, all classes of people, in all cultures. You know, it's so much now about cultures and being diverse and knowing about everything. Jesus, there's Christians from every culture already. And there'll be a number no man can number that will ultimately be praising God in heaven. There's people all over the world who found new life in Christ. I give them, he said, eternal life. That's what I give them. It's not just the crutch. It's not just advice. He gives life. No other crutches gives you life. Just give you advice. And hope it goes well with you, son. Or girl. Hope it goes well. That's the way I found the best thing for me. This is what society has found. We believe in this and that and the next thing. It's been a great help. They don't give you life. But Jesus does. He's come to give us life. Eternal life. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. It's a gift that we have to receive. You get that? You receive it. You take my yoke. Have you taken it? Have you taken the offer of eternal life that Jesus has given you in the gospel? You receive it. You take it thankfully, willingly. It's not forced upon you. It's an offer. Now, I think it's important for us to remember that it is, after all, though, it is a yoke. There is a burden still, in a sense, that you have to carry. Your salvation's secure because he's given you life. But your journey through this world, you'll need advice for that. But to be saved, you need his everlasting life, which no other group, no other institution will offer you. So Christ's yoke is twofold. It's got the everlasting life. He's got the help along the way. You will still have to live the life that God has called you to live, even after becoming a Christian, even after accepting everlasting life. You still have to live your life in your circumstances. See, everyone has a path, a road to tread. Everyone has a race to run. It's a race that God has set before us. God has set before each one of us a race, a particular, a special kind of course. Everyone's course is different. And God wants you to run yours, and me to run mine. But if we take his yoke, at the end, we get heaven. And during the course of life, we get help. We get his advice. And he shares the load. Wonderful. Take my yoke. Don't snub it. Your circumstances will not change because you've taken this yoke, Christ's yoke. You still have your migraines. You still have your failings and your weaknesses, but you'll have Christ helping you with your yoke. He'll help you with your struggles, your financial concerns, your health concerns, whatever. Whatever. He's with you to share the burden, and you've got life as well if you take his yoke. Christ is with you in your problems. You'll certainly get rid of some problems that you would otherwise have without the yoke. But you still have problems. You see, there are those who believe when you become a Christian, everything, all problems vanish as utter rubbish. Nothing changes in circumstances apart from Jesus being with you, giving you advice. And which, if you reject, you'll still have the problems. But if you take it, it'll be a great help if you listen to him. If you ignore his advice and neglect his advice, you will suffer. So we're all losers, really, with a choice of the three crutches. How we face the struggle of life, going it alone, finding someone else or some other group to help us, or choosing Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. All three, he is that. And there's no sting in the tail. There's no sting in the tail. Very often, is it not the case, you and I have sought and found and discovered help on the internet, maybe a phone call or replying to some advert, and you've got a real bargain. This is something that's really good. It's a real bargain. But as time goes on, we begin to see there's a sting in the tail. There's a reason why it was a bargain. And there's something you never thought of. Well, with this yoke, there is no sting in the tail at all. In fact, the very opposite to a sting in the tail. Once you come to Christ, once you take his yoke, once you receive him, once you start listening to him, once you start following him, you'll discover he's far more to offer He has far more to offer. He said, I am come that they might have life and have it abundantly. You see, there are Christians who have come for life and had the life, but they've neglected the advice and they're not having the abundant life in Jesus Christ. They've ignored his path and they walk a rocky road, disobeying Jesus. There are Christians like that. But I have come that they would not just have life, but have it abundantly. The peace of God, there is a peace of God. There's a contentment that surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, all human, you cannot understand. There's this peace that God's people have when they walk with him, when they have the yoke with him. They've got that peace you can't describe. There are those who receive Jesus advice from Jesus, but do not take himself. There are those who listen to the Bibles, to the Ten Commandments, which are tremendous help to us in life. Tremendous blessing with promises. But they don't take Jesus himself. They've just taken his advice. And they don't take his life that he offers. Many people agree with what Jesus said, but do not give themselves up to him. And they do not receive him, just his words. They don't go the extra mile. They believe so much, but not everything. They say he's a wonderful person. They say he's a wonderful teacher. But he's not God's son. He's not God. He didn't die for our sins. You see, they pick and choose some of the things he said, but not all. And they get along because they're taking his advice. But you need his life. You need salvation. They pick and choose what they like from the scriptures. How very, very sad. And such people fail of the grace of God. You've heard that? They fail of the grace of God. It was the Christians that the writer to the book of Hebrews, it was the Jewish Christians, that the writer to the book of Hebrews said that while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of us should seem to have failed. Let's be sure we have Christ, we have the life and the advice. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And so, finish. You need a crutch. You have your problems. Are you worried? Worried about death? Worried about judgment? Or are you okay? You're fine. You can cope. There's nothing to worry about. Well, remember, I leave you with two things that Jesus said. Well, it's one thing, one sentence. He said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Are you a sinner needing a crutch? The gospel's for losers. The philosophers had it right. The thing is, we don't see ourselves as needing a crutch, but we're going to need it. And Christ has come so that everyone who hears the gospel can have everlasting life. And so, come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May God bless his word. Let's have a few moments of silent prayer as we ask God to make us wise so that we may take his yoke, take his life and his advice.